Hey guys, what's going on? Welcome to the show. Welcome to The 100 Season 4, Episode 4, A Lie Guarded. It's called A Lie Guarded, actually. We're going to break down the whole episode for you here at the AfterBuzz TV After Show for this. We're very excited. The show is getting super awesome this season. Hang out with us. We'll see you in just 1 second.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
And a Dufresne came
there out. It is. I was waiting for it. I was like, go on.
Yeah, I can't really do a good one. Guys, welcome to the show.
Hi guys.
Welcome to the Jaha Redemption. This is great. The 100's getting so good again. I love it. This music's the best.
It's like you're trying to make me cry.
Yeah. I've heard a lot of arguments by people that The Shawshank Redemption is the greatest movie of all time. Mm-hmm. Like a legitimate argument for it. It's actually still the number one movie on IMDb's top 250. It's been the number one movie for like 15 years or something.
Jesus.
Yeah, people love it. Guys, welcome to the AfterBuzz TV After Show. We're tangenting hard. This is for the 100. Welcome back to the studio. I'm your host, Ben Bateman, here with the other host on the panel, Miss Alexis Torres.
Hey, everybody. You can find me all over social media at atorres890.
And if you guys want to follow along, you can find me at Ben Bateman Media on Twitter and Instagram. We're going to talk about the episode, so it's getting really good.
So good.
I'm getting excited again. I've been noticing this, but the 100's a slow starter. It's a little bit like the Seattle Seahawks in the first five games of the season.
Oh, here we go. I was waiting for you to bring sports into the show.
It's just, for whatever reason, I feel like every season's been the same way. The first season, the first four episodes are not good. It, like, took the fifth episode before the show started to really take off. Second season is good, but we don't meet Lexa, unless I'm mistaken, until midway into the second season.
I thought it was midway, but I mean, I could be wrong. It's been a long time.
Unless it's this first season. No, I think Finn's there towards the end of the first season, right? Maybe I'm jumping around.
Yes.
I think he dies in the second season.
Yes. Yeah, because, yeah.
It's been a minute since I've gone back to watch it, but
I haven't had time to rewatch the entire series, so.
The second season gets really exciting midway through, and it's a great finale.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third season, it started a little slow at the beginning.
But then all of a sudden, just action every, like, 5 seconds.
All the stuff at the beginning of the third season with, like, trying to bring the AI story and the bunker, and mm-hmm. Murphy's there and Jaha mm-hmm. and everything. It was all really, like, kind of clunky for the first 3 or 4 episodes, and it started to get really good. And I feel like now we're in the same position. Maybe it's just the nature of the show because it's such an ensemble show.
Yeah, I think it's just they're trying to establish the story in the beginning, and then now you can start. Because I feel like there wasn't as much death in the beginning, I feel like. I mean, like, sometimes they throw us off track, and sometimes there's like, oh, look at that, kill after kill after kill. But I feel like always around episode 3 or 4, even 5, we usually start hitting those, like, rapid kills like we did today.
The beats, it's sweet. So, guys, if you want to help us stay in business here doing the show, you should please give us a rating or review on iTunes. It helps us stay high in the standings.
Yes,
we provide free content at AfterBuzz TV. We will always provide free content at AfterBuzz TV. And to do that, we need ratings and reviews. So if you guys give us a rating review, preferably 5 stars, don't say anything too negative. It would help us, you know, yeah, exactly. Stay high in the standings. That's what we need to do to continue to do this. So that would be awesome if you did that.
Yeah.
We've got man Mark Donica up in the booth. What's up, Donica?
What's up, everybody?
How's it going, man?
Doing pretty good. I'm excited. Hearing y'all be so excited about 100 makes me interested in watching it, but thank you, Steven. It's okay.
There was a singing voice.
Never mind.
Yeah, it's all good.
Thanks, Mark.
Yeah, we appreciate it.
That was me. That was Steven.
No. We meant thanks for trying to hold on to it.
Yeah.
No, just give it a look through.
So, it's actually quite good. And it gets better and better every season at the third or fourth episode. So, let's just jump right into this one. Clark is no fun. She's the worst. She's not the worst. She's not even close to the worst.
I mean, it's weird because I'm on both sides on this one because clearly Clark, obviously, we already knew that it was hard for her to write the list of the 100 people that she wanted to save. One, she didn't really want to write it. Raven was the one that was like, you need to write it. I'm waiting for the list. Give it to me. We need to know, you know, because she was thinking of the statistics of what we need to be ready for. So I felt bad that I was like, Clark, just tell people that Raven pushed you to make this list. You weren't just like, oh, I'm awesome and I'm going to make this list.
No, she would never throw Raven under the bus like
that. I know, but at the same time, like, teamwork.
It's just like Clark's literal first line in this episode. Her first line is, all right, we've had our fun. Let's get back to work. That's like, that is like That is Clark in a nutshell. That's her.
I know, but it's not her fault. She knows that there's other things that we need to be worrying about.
Totally, and that's what I'm saying. She's nowhere near the worst. Clark's great. It's just that she's in that really tough position where she's, like, so much of the burden falls on her shoulders because she's stronger than most and she tries to keep things organized. But it's tough because, you know, she's in a not a fun position. She just gets pooped on a lot. Clark really does.
Poo-poo on everything.
She loses everybody she loves and she just... sucks.
Well, I mean, according to ships, technically Bellamy's still there. So
people are freaking out about that one. So anyway, that's how the episode starts, and Clark gets foamed.
I thought that was funny, and I felt really bad that fell on, just fell flat because of the fact of what happened.
Well, so now let's talk about who did the foaming and who's actually the worst, and that's Jasper.
So I feel bad because I love how Jasper was this like nerdy, mousy kind of guy in, like, the very beginning and kind of was, like, kind of awkward, but also was like, hey, ladies, you know, kind of thing. And then he finally had a love of his life. He lost the love of his life, and now he's kind of in this weird, I'm grieving, but also don't really care about my life, kind of. But also he's on the Clark hate train, which is unfortunate that he was the one that found the list.
It's just, like, in a time like this when there's nuclear disaster that is threatening or, like, there's war on your group or, like, everyone around you could just be dead tomorrow if things don't go well. Mm-hmm. It's like, dude, grow up, man. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's like your little act, your little, like, mopey thing, it's fine and it's – but, like, no, because you need to be worth something. Like, at the end, the last line that she says to him is – he's leaving and he's like, that foam bit was funny.
And that was it.
and like, he's like, someday you'll see. And I wanted her to be like, and someday you'll be dead and I'll be protecting everyone because you're an idiot.
Like, it also doesn't sound like Clark like at all.
No, I just wanted her to look at him and be like, you, like, I just don't like Jasper. Granted, it's not his fault because the writers are doing it the way that they're doing it. And, you know, it's good television when they give you a character that you love to hate like that. It's just like, it's just gone on too long. I'm over it. I'm tired of him.
But yeah, I'm going to play a little bit of devil's advocate. I understand where he's coming from because the fact that in his head right now, Clark has ruined his life. So the fact that he doesn't see the big picture, he just sees Clark wrote a list, wrote her own name, which mind you, I don't know who it was on Twitter, I forgot to look it up, but dude, if you were actually using your brain, you can clearly tell there's two different fonts. Like, there's two different types of handwriting. Right. So, if Clark wrote this list, everything up to 99 is her handwriting.
I know.
And then the last bit is somebody else. One, two. I can't really see Clark writing her own name on there, and we saw evidence of that. Three. I'm a little upset that she didn't put Monty on there, but I also understood there must have been a reason for
it. Or Harper.
Or Harper, yeah. It sucks that, you know, he found out about the list this way. Also, it sucks knowing that we're doing this kind of all over again, of finding the select few that we've chosen to save for whatever reason, and you're not on it.
And what's crazy is that the show is not afraid of actually doing that.
Oh, yeah.
So if the show could do that. It could actually just kill everyone but 100 people. Mm-hmm. I don't know what they would do in the next season, but...
Yeah, I'd be very intrigued to see what happens.
I mean, that's the thing that this show could do. So they've done crazy stuff like that in the past. But yeah, the whole interaction was just... I find it frustrating. I find him frustrating and the way that he handles himself repeatedly.
I feel like he could have done this in a different way. I feel like if he wasn't on the Clark hate train, that he could have talked to her and we could have had a moment of just been able to... I mean, obviously, this wouldn't make for good television if he was just like, let's sit down and let's talk.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I feel like you should at least find out why Clark made this list and see if there is a better way to tell people instead of just getting on a loudspeaker and being like, hey, y'all are gonna die because you're not on this list and it's Clark's fault. Deal with it.
Well, Clark's definitely in the wrong to some degree. I mean, she's not in the wrong in the sense that she is being pragmatic. And so she's like, she's trying to be a machine. She's trying to be a robot. And like, people all over the world, all over forever of time have found that, like, doing that doesn't always win you the battle. It doesn't always make you friends. And so that's definitely a bummer for her. But, she was trying to do what she felt was right. And so then Jaha steps in.
I'm still taken aback.
Yeah.
By
the Jaha, you mean the Jaha redemption is what you're taking aback.
No, like, for real. Like, that plan was so smart. But at the same time, I was like, what are you up to?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
I know. He's pretty manipulative. I just was like, he walked in and he, like, saved the day like that. And he calmed everybody down. And I was like... if this was a movie, you would be Denzel Washington, and you would be like the hero of the story, because like you're just, that's such a good moment, and he was so good in that moment. I was like,
I loved how he was just really calm, where he's like, of course Clark and Bellamy have to be on that list, and I was like, where are you going with this? And but I also loved the fact that even though it sucks that she had to make this list, also her reasoning, at least with the people that she chose for the list, makes sense. I mean, there was that part, that moment where I was a lady, and I was like, really? You're just going to put this lady on here so she can have babies? That sucks. But at the same time, I understand where she's coming from, that she also looked into medical records of like, okay, if we brought Harper in, she could reproduce, but she might actually die soon because her dad had a disease and this and this and this.
Oh, so, my gosh. I mean, can you imagine if you're one of the 100 people that gets left on the ship, and you are now, you're inside the ship for 5 years, and you can't leave for 5 years because you have to let the levels go down, and now a bunch of your friends have been killed, and Clark's on the ship, and she's the one that made the decision to kill a bunch of your friends and family.
It's just bad news either way. It's a lose-lose situation. I mean, sure, people live, but, I mean, we also don't know how that's going to work out. Also, the fact that I understood where she was coming from, where it is risky, because what if they rioted? Then what?
Yeah,
and then
I feel like the inside of the ship would become like some sort of like Event Horizon meets Lord of the Flies situation.
Oh, God, that's just
cannibalism horror story.
I can't even think about what that's going to look like. Just combining those two movies gives me the frights. But then on the other side, I understand where Monty comes through. He's, and Jasper, where they're like, you're not a god. I'm like, Clark's not completely trying to play God. She just doesn't know what else to do. So when Raven was like, make this list, she's like, okay, I don't have a choice, so I'm gonna try and think of this, you know, pragmatically and see who should be able to go on here because of this. And I like that Monty even said, I don't care that I'm not on the list, but you should tell people.
Right, yeah.
So I agreed with him on that. I just wish there was a better way of doing that. Like, we were able to pull an assembly and be like, hey, look, this is what Raven and I have been talking about. This is what's going on. These are the people I've picked so far, but I haven't made final decisions yet. It's just it's like a draft, pretty much. And I don't know what to do about this. Why don't we hear ideas from everybody? Still, it'll still be chaotic, but at least you'll have everyone in a room kind of figuring stuff out together.
Clark and Jasper, something that was really interesting and funny I was thinking about was like, did you have anybody, a girl or a guy in high school, that terrorized you? Like,
oh, yeah. Are you kidding me? Like, every year.
That there was, like, but and all through your entire whole high school experience, or middle school experience, by the end of it, you just, like, hated them, but they were in your class, so you had to do 4 years with this person. Mm-hmm. And you guys also, like, grew up, so the first year, you know what I mean? Like, as you got older, it was like, you maybe, like, the 1 year you guys really fought, the next year things were cooler, then the next year maybe they got you in a whole different way, they got you in trouble in class. Like, I had, like, a couple people in middle school and high school that I remember going through this with, and by the end of it, you're like, I've made it through this horrible situation with you, and we've both grown through it, and I've lost things because of you, so on and so forth. It's like Jasper and Clark is like the accelerated version of that.
Yeah, because they've actually had to see death. Like, Jasper, like, pretty much almost died, like, what, first, second episode?
Yeah,
like,
yeah. First episode, I think.
Yeah. Like, my favorite phrase anytime I tell somebody, like, Mark Donica, if you decide to start watching the show, is I always, that's our thing, is, like, random spear my thing, and that's how Jasper almost died. So I feel like I'm like, Clark tried to save you. You should be a little grateful, but I also understand where you're coming from. So it's crazy how far they've come.
I know.
In their journey and to get to this point now.
Well, that moment with them sitting in the jail cell and she's like, you can go, and they're kind of back and forth and they kind of hate each other. She kind of doesn't have any patience for him and he kind of thinks that she's the worst.
Yeah.
But also, like, there's like a kind of an understanding thing. That's what I mean when I feel like it's a high school.
Yeah.
It's like a high school person in your class.
Roles. Yeah.
You guys were friends at one time, but maybe not anymore. Anyway, continue to move on. The second storyline we have going on is that Luna and Nyko are being accompanied by Raven and this whole, and Miller and the whole gang, and what exactly are they trying to do? They're trying to get to the bunker? Is that what it is?
It looked like they were trying to get to the bunker because they figured they can make the night blood there.
That's what it is. Because there's like a lab. Mm-hmm. And that's the lab they get to at the end that looks like the Heisenberg lab from Breaking Bad. Yeah. Got it. So that's the whole journey. And they get to the shore and there's these crazy drones that are attacking them.
So upset.
And I guess that's Allie still running the drones?
I mean, I guess it's pretty much just something that was left over as, like, her guard dogs. So it's like if, let's say, the owner died, but the guard dogs don't know what else to do. They only know one thing, which is to guard the area that they're in. That is what that is.
Gotcha. So they're just automated is what we think.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's why, not Echo. Oh, my God.
Luna?
No, Inori?
Amori.
Amori, oh my god. I'm having a hard time remembering names. When she stopped, because she knew if she crossed the lines that something would happen. But I think she also understands that there's something worse on this island as well, which I was like, are we on Lost? Is that what's happening?
Yeah, I know, right? She said, Frick Drena, mutants can't cross over the line, otherwise they get shot at. Yeah, we hadn't seen the drones shoot yet, right? This was the first time we had seen them shoot bullets.
Because they came up, because we heard, first I thought it was an animal. Like, I thought it was an insect, because it sounded like, what are those bugs that always make all that noise? Not crickets. They're on the East Coast. I can't remember what they're called off the top of my head. They're like big June bugs, but they make really, like, their wings make some weird, like, crickety noise. I can't remember for the life of me what they're called. But I thought that's what that was. Cicadas! That's what they're called.
Oh, yeah.
I thought that's what they were.
Oh, and there's a Flash villain based off that called Cicada.
Yeah. So I thought that's what it was. And then all of a sudden when a drone showed up, I was like, oh, I wonder what that's for. And then in my brain, I was going, that can't be good.
Right.
And as soon as we already had our first death, was some rando who got shot in the head. And I was like, oh my God, this is insane.
I know, the first shot was like so accurate, it just took someone out. And then all the rest of the shots missed everyone except for Nico.
Well, Nico, I mean, obviously stood, and it looked like the bullets were kind of everywhere at that point in time, but at the same, like, it was weird how it was like, oh, we're going to do sniper shots, and now we're learning from the Stormtrooper Academy at this point. So
yeah, right.
It was interesting.
Big, poor one out for Nico. He's a long time.
I'm upset.
He was a long time really good character.
I know.
He's in the show a long time. I think he's been in the show since season one. He was Lincoln's good friend.
Oh, yeah. Wow. I thought he was at least season two.
Maybe he showed up in season two.
I don't remember. I just know, holy crap, you know?
Yeah.
And I mean, it was weird because he was like, I trust these people. And I was like, please don't die.
Yeah.
Don't give me sentimental stuff and then die. That would suck. I thought he was at least going to get injured. I didn't think that he was going to, like, die.
It was a very abrupt death. I didn't think Nico was going to die.
I mean, but after seeing, what, three or four bullets, I was like, yeah, he's a dead man. That sucks. Yeah. I'm very upset about that. It's a bummer. I really liked him.
But he protected the Luna, Nagueta? What am I looking for?
What are you looking for? I don't know what you're talking about.
The Nightblood. Isn't there, like, what they say?
I don't remember off the top of my head.
I'm just, like, having a brain fart.
It'll come to me. Or come Nat to Blada? Us later.
Nightblada?
I thought it was Nightblada.
Nightblada?
I don't remember, guys. I don't want to do this.
Torn apart for mispronouncing that. I know what it is. I just can't think what it is. So, anyway, they are being shot at by these drones, and Raven is the one from The Matrix. She just is, like, able to just be like, I happened. I
love that she said that. Yeah. I mean, that was the one thing that I was really sad about the start of the season, and kind of with last season, was, like, Raven wasn't really used as much. And the fact that she's been kind of in this state because the fact that she almost died several times, like, she almost killed her own self. Like, she's been through a lot. Actually, all these characters have been through a lot. But
yeah.
I feel like Raven hasn't really moved from her spot of just, you know, being able to feel pain again.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like she's been kind of stewing in that, and that's unfortunate for her, and I wanted more. And I love that last episode we got to see that side of, she's like, okay, I'm kind of becoming a monster, I need to work on that. And then this one where she pretty much told Luna, when she's trying to take the boat, that it's not your blood that defines you, it's your heart.
Mm.
And the fact that, like, you know, the fact that you lost that child, there's other, children who are all over, you know, this island or this world, you know, that who can survive if we make this. So I love that Luna didn't just go, see ya, and leave. I mean, I also worry for her because she has a lot to give at this point in time. She's very precious. But I love that Raven gave her a choice instead of just going, no, you're coming with us.
Yeah, she puts the gun down.
Yeah.
She puts the gun out.
I was very proud of Raven's character at this point in time, because I'm glad that we're getting more out of her.
She had a good episode. Yeah. She just needs now to have some romance in the show ever that's not just like some like jerk.
That's it. And they either die or disappear.
Yeah, right? We're going four seasons now and she's not.
I mean, I don't think she needs a romance story, but I also want her to get a win.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
I just want a guy to treat her well.
You know? I understand.
Or a guy or a girl, really. I don't think she's ever explored that side of things, but who knows?
You know, I'm open to that. But yeah, I think at this point, I'm just glad that she's baby steps, she's getting better, and the fact that she, you know, says, like, screw it, and she, like, tries to run as, you know, as far as she can, and she did, and, you know, and she made it. I was scared that, like, something was going to happen when she got shot in the head.
Again.
Yeah, and I would have been like, I'm not ready for this.
Oh, but, God. Yeah.
Again, I'm really happy that her character is coming back up again.
Definitely. Nice. So, there is a line, though, that Amori says there are worse things out here than drones, and I'm trying to figure out...
Again, it feels like Lost.
Yeah, right. A polar bear or a smoke monster or something.
Smoke monster. That's what I'm waiting for.
Yeah, I wonder what's in those woods.
I mean, I feel like... Because we haven't actually been on this part of the island, right? I'm assuming. Well, not island, but you know what I mean.
Lost.
Yeah,
lost,
I'm telling you, it's just in my head. But this part of the land that we're in, I'm trying to figure out exactly where they're at.
I guess not, maybe. This is not the same bunker that Murphy lived in, because
it's... No, completely different.
Yeah, so it's a different place. Maybe this is not somewhere we've ever been.
I have no idea. I'm just trying to figure it out, because clearly if there's more monsters on this side...
Yeah, something. I mean, one thing that they never explored is, like... Do you remember early on there was the deer, there was like the mutant deer that shows up.
We had the gorilla.
And there's the gorilla, and there's also that one shot of like a really crazy looking, like mutated grounder sort of dude. I feel like they never explored that. It was pretty early on.
Yeah, I don't know if there was just because the budget we couldn't have that kind of CG, and that's why we only had like one or two episodes with animals that were completely disfigured. I would like to get more of that.
So I wonder, more giant gorillas or, you know, mutant polar bears, rhinos, things. Yeah, I don't know.
Just more general grunts. It's fine.
So anyway, that's pretty much how that resolves. They make it to the lab in the end. One member did take a shot in the arm, and
It was Abby's assistant, I believe.
Yeah, Sinclair. Is that his name? Or yeah. Sinclair dead?
No, Sinclair died. It's a different guy. I don't think I know this guy's name.
No, you do, I think. There's two. There's two guys that...
Yeah, Sinclair definitely died because Raven was upset about it.
He was the one who died last season.
Yeah.
He was the one who tries to kill Raven. He's possessed. He takes the chip.
Yeah. He did, but he was saved.
I can't think of this guy's name right offhand. I should have just written it down, but...
I know. Well, we also didn't hear it in the... Oh, no, we did.
I think we did.
Because he said that he got shot in the arm. I don't remember.
So
sorry, guys.
He takes a shot in the arm, but in any case, we have one wounded person. They make it to the lab. They're going to patch him up, and this lab is pretty like big-time looking.
Mm-hmm.
I keep saying it, but it really does remind me of the Heisenberg lab from Breaking Bad.
It looks pretty... It's pretty damn close.
Yeah, it just has a very similar look of all brand new and pristine, and maybe they'll start making... meth and selling it.
Yeah, that's how we'll get through the radiation.
Yeah, meth. Exactly. So that's pretty much wraps up that storyline for the episode. Then the third storyline we have begins with Kane telling Octavia that he does not trust her, and she is no longer part of a security detail. She's got to get out of town.
I don't know how I feel about this.
But then Kane and Bellamy get taken captive because Rowan's like, I found this dude out in the woods, and he told me all this stuff, so I don't believe you anymore. Kill all of them. And Octavia's on the run. And this is so sweet because she's the best character on the show at this point. She is. She gets all the best. She gets all the best moments.
Yeah.
And she gets to be so cool.
I love all of her fight scenes, especially this one, because it wasn't just like, oh, we're going to do a bunch of these like crazy stunts. Like, no, they look like someone who grew up as a warrior. Like, it was great.
Yeah.
You know, and it wasn't fancy. It was just. Like, they're swinging swords. That's what it is. And they look heavy.
Sweet. She's on the horse, and she takes out one of the Asgata.
Yeah, with her flying, or throwing, when she threw a dagger.
As
yeah.
he's, like, going for his bow.
I was insane.
And then she's going, like, hand to hand, and she takes out the one dude.
I thought that girl was gonna die, because she cut in the inner thigh. That's something that, you know, would bleed pretty fast if you're not paying attention, but it looked like it was too high up. But, yeah, no, I think she did a really good job. I was a little worried when she got stabbed. I was like, oh, my gosh. But then I looked at you, and I was like, she's going to fall in that river, and it's going to be Aragorn in the river in Two Towers of Lord of the Rings. It's happening. Yeah,
it was exactly that. It was precisely that.
Yeah, it was kind of insane how, like, exactly, how scene for scene it was, how she's in the river. All you see is the horse walking up against the side of the river, her hands out. She gets up without... even saying a word, like, she gets onto the horse and she's just like, go. And I'm like...
Yeah, but there's no Gimli to be like, no.
I know, no. It was ridiculous. But at the same time, like, I loved that entire scene.
Oh, man.
The sheer amount of Lord of the Rings references that y'all have been making these past couple of weeks.
But it's insane.
No, I know, but it makes me more interested in the show. It's like, dude, I get Lord of the Rings on TV and it's like weird... future-y thing, I'm into it.
Yeah, no, for real. And I liked the fact that it was, before we get more into that Lord of the Rings scene, the fact that it was two ladies standing up at the very end, like, that was awesome.
Yeah.
You know, the fact that they were just two badass women just going at it, and she stabbed Octavia.
And Echo. And, oh, yeah.
Yeah, Echo was amazing.
Octavia's on the ground, her sword gets broken, she goes for the dagger, and I almost thought, like, she was gonna maybe have the one moment where, like, I think, like, Boromir's already been... he's already been shot with the arrows.
Yeah, and he grabs for another one.
And he goes for the sword. And he goes for the really weak guard of the sword, but his arm's really weak.
Yeah.
I thought maybe that was going to happen, but this wasn't even like a This wasn't even like we're gonna borrow some things. Yeah. This was clearly
shot for shot
a direct homage to Lord of the Rings, The Two Towers, like directly. Because she gets stabbed and Aragorn doesn't get stabbed. He just falls.
Yeah, because
he gets drugged by the boar.
Yeah,
yeah. He kills the orc, but the boar drags him off, and so he's in the water. But then the horse finds Octavia in the river.
No, like just the entire same thing, and like literally, you know, she gets up on the horse and they go off. I really wanted her to be like, good horse. Yeah, like, that's what I wanted, and it didn't happen. Gonna
say, what did she say? Take me home?
Helios, I think she said, take me home. Yeah, Helios, take me home.
Which is like, when she said it, I was like, is that what Aragorn says?
No, that's not. He literally goes, good horse. It trots on, and then you have that awesome scene of him coming into Rohan where he opens the door.
Shaggy Vigo. Yeah. It's a good look. It's a good look for Vigo.
My favorite, guys.
Do you want to just do that movie right now?
I want to talk about The Hundred, but at the same time, everybody knows that Lord of the Rings is my favorite, hence why my wedding is going to be
Octavia is just so awesome. Like, I was watching this episode, and I was like, they just basically were like, all right, we're just going to give all the good scenes to Octavia. From here on out, she just gets to be the most badass character on the show, like, and it's not even close.
Yeah.
I do really miss Lexa.
Sorry, I'm trying not to cry.
I do really miss Lexa, like and beyond even the relationship to Clark, beyond even Clexa, which was great, which I miss, but just the character of Lexa I miss. She was like, she was just awesome. Are you crying?
No, everything's fine. Everything's great. I think it's really funny that Mark Donica was watching us as we were reacting to the fight scene.
It's pretty magical, I must say.
Yeah, we were like, we were all kind of like staring at the TV and then just like reacting. It was fantastic.
I got some amazing pictures of y'all watching.
You were taking pictures, Mark?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, they're on the nice camera, too.
Oh, Jesus.
I did a literal fist pump moment.
Did you?
A snap. Yeah.
I think I threw my hands up in the air at one point. I don't remember.
When Octavia threw the dagger,
was insane.
I kind of lost it.
I was like, what?
Yeah, it's just sweet. What?
Oh, man.
So anyway, that's where that ends. And of course, then we do find out later in the episode when Cain and Bellamy have been released, because Rowan is like, I'm going to take you guys to home and I'm going to take your ship.
So it's weird because I had a moment where I thought he was like, he was switching sides and he was like, I'm going to take you home and we're going to pretend like I've thrown, you know, we've killed the Alliance and, you know, now you guys don't have to worry about it. I'll just take care of it from here and they'll believe that I'm really the king. And I was like, oh, no. He's just a jerk.
Yeah, no, he's going to try to take the ship. He's going to try to,
And he captured Indra.
Yeah.
Because he killed everybody in Tree Crew.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Indra, but she's alive because she's sweet.
Well, yeah, because she's awesome. I mean, come on. Dina Porter.
Yeah, so there, that's where that wrapped up, and they're gonna take them back to the Ark, and am I forgetting one super important plot point in this episode?
We covered everything, because we had Clark and Jasper and Monty.
Yeah.
Besides the fact that we're doing the lottery now.
Right, that's where that ended.
Yeah, that's where that ended.
Which can't be a good idea. The lottery idea, I understand what Jaha's saying. You give people hope so they feel like they're fighting for something, but at the same time,
it can backfire on you for sure.
Well, what if you pick no doctors? Or what if you pick, like, what if you end up out of the 100 picking, like, 89 women and 11 guys? Well, actually, that's probably what should happen. What if it's the other way around? What if it's 89 guys and 11 women? Like,
yeah, that'd be crazy. Like,
yeah, you're in a bad situation at that point.
I don't want to think about that. Yeah, so I don't know how that's going to turn out. We'll see how that goes. I feel like that's just going to end up being a problem either way. I feel like it doesn't matter who you choose. It's just going to be terrible either way. Someone's going to get upset that they didn't get chosen.
Of course.
And they're going to either kill the person that got chosen or it's just going to riot and it's going to suck.
It's a savage mutiny.
I don't even want to think about it. What was I talking about? So then we have our group that's at the bunker. We have Arcadia kind of crumbling slowly on the inside. And then we have Rowan on their way to Arcadia and Octavia also kind of on their way as well. So everyone's kind of slowly moving towards Arcadia except for our B team, which is at the bunker trying to figure out a second or plan B.
So the one thing to comment is Bellamy now thinks that Octavia's dead.
That scene was hard to watch.
Yeah.
Like, I felt really bad for him because I always feel like he's always, like, left in the dust with things, and now he thinks his sister is actually dead. Which, if they had it their way and they did kill Octavia, that would be it. that is where we would end things, and we'd have to figure out what happens next.
She'd be a really tough character to kill at this point.
I feel like at that point, the 100, like, they would actually burn.
Yeah.
I feel like fans would be like, we're done.
Yeah, they've just made her in, they've made her into, like, the, like, she's not quite the flagship character at this point.
No, but I feel like she is one of the most strong, not most strong, but the strongest standing character so far.
She's, yeah, they've made a real effort this season to make her just a stone cold badass. I hope they give us that same shot, the Aragorn shot opening the doors.
I really want it. If you're going to continue these Lord of the Rings stuff, you need to continue with that, because I'm going to be really upset. Mark, I love you. Yeah, I need that. I need that, her hair being all messed up and just opening the doors to Arcadia. I don't know what doors that would be, but I would be so happy.
I don't think they have.
It would be automated.
It'd be great. Yeah.
Please. If not, at least show it to me in storyboards. I would be the happiest person in the world.
Théoden, king. All right. Anyway, so I would say we should probably get into predictions. Yeah, correct? Sure. Yes.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
I've said it, and I'll say it again. Jasper's gonna die. They're just setting.
You're just setting it up.
I mean, they're just taking their sweet.
We saw that last season too, and he did not die. I think he was very much alive.
From what I understand, he was supposed to die last season, and they chose not to.
Oh, because of the backlash.
I think he was supposed to commit suicide last season.
Ooh, no! I'm really glad they didn't do that. Because I think that would have been too much.
And I think they changed it.
Also, that would have been a very big trigger warning. I mean, even just the Raven one was a little eerie for me. I couldn't handle that. I would rather them not do that with Jasper. But yeah, I feel like I might be on the same boat with you on that one. I don't know per se, but I feel like if they did kill him off, I wouldn't be upset.
Yeah. I feel like that's a big one that's definitely going to happen. And I also, I don't know if I would quite call this a prediction, but I don't know that I'm going to bet necessarily against the 100 surviving as the only 100.
I feel like they're going to make it work.
I mean, they might, but at the same, like, what I'm trying to say is this show has proven time and time again they're willing to do stuff like that, so maybe it doesn't, and maybe it's, I'm wagering a half prediction that next season we have 100 characters left on that ship.
Wow. That's pretty bold. I mean, but, you know, I can totally see the show doing that, where they're like, and everyone's dead, it's just the 100 again.
Well, if there's, like, a big battle, and, like, you lose a lot of, if you lose, like, a lot of people, and, you know, let's say in the battle they take out, like, 2 or 3 of the relevant characters, and you kill a whole bunch of, like, less relevant characters, and you're left with most of the core group, and that's who survives. I mean, it's probably not going to happen, but I'm just saying it wouldn't necessarily surprise me. You got anything?
No, I'm trying to see how long they're going to prolong B team and A team. Like, how are they gonna continue to have it for the majority of the season, where, like, B team's gonna be at the bunker, maybe they get locked in and they're just stuck there trying to figure stuff out, but they have no communication out there, because remember Kane had communication with Abby, but now that Kane's captured, I don't really know how they're able to do that now. I think Octavia will continue to be strong, but I feel like she's gonna have a hard time trying to heal, I think, at first. I don't think she's gonna be able to get back up and be like, all right, I'm awesome, here we go.
Of course,
I feel
like, she took a knife to the stomach.
Yeah, because, you know, gut wounds are usually hard to get through.
Kind of on the side there.
Yeah, so, like, yeah, I don't really know, like, what muscle or whatever that is, but I feel like it went through, like, clean through. Yeah, so I feel like she's gonna, the fact that she didn't bleed out is tremendous.
Well, they're gonna, I mean, it's TV, so she'll heal pretty fast, but, like,
I'm assuming, but, like, you know,
God, the showdown with Echo she's gonna have when she takes out Echo, it's gonna be so sweet.
It's gonna be so good by the end of the season, I think, or at least the mid-season break. It's gonna be so good. So yeah, I think Octavia's gonna take a hot minute to heal.
Yep.
And I feel like Clark is just, it's just getting worse for her on her end, and I don't know how she's gonna be able to do that, and I don't think our Arcadia guests are going to be easy to handle. I think it's just going to, as soon as the raffle happens, if that happens, if we don't lose a bunch of people, she's going to have to rethink the list, rethink the raffle, and it's just going to end in a riot.
Yeah.
And it's going to be terrible.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like there's a way to actually execute that plan. You know?
Yeah, I'm a little worried about that.
In space, it's like we're running out of oxygen, and if we keep everyone here, we're all just going to die. I feel like on the ground, I mean, I guess you could pull off the same maneuver on the ground. You could be like, well, we're just going to keep, you know, 180 of us in here instead of... But, I mean, that's still hundreds of people dying.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know exactly what the the final count is going to be, but it's not going to be good. Whether it's going to be less than 100 or if it's going to be more, and it's just going to be people just suffering, trying to crawl their way.
Well, they have provisions for 100 people for 5 years.
Yes.
But not 500 people for 1 year. So I wonder if that's the decision they make in the end. We'll keep all 500 for 1 year.
Oh, jeez.
But then all the grounders die, too.
Yeah, because at first I thought they were trying to figure out something for everybody, and then obviously that didn't work out, so now you can only fit comfortably about 100 and some odd people with food.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Again, I have no idea how that's going to play out. I feel like it's just going to be terrible.
Yeah, me neither.
Yeah.
Guys, thank you so much for watching and tuning in. If you want to share your thoughts with either one of us, find us, ask questions, interact, so on and so forth. Or on Twitter, you can find me at Ben Bateman Media.
You can find me at atorres890. I'm doing a bunch of shows here on AfterBuzz TV of, obviously, The 100 with Ben Bateman. I'm also on the Popcorn Talk Network, where he has his awesome show, Action Movie Anatomy. I also do Jedi Alliance with that awesome person who you heard, Mark Donica. I also do Voltron, Lethal Weapon, Timeless just ended, Into the Badlands starts. If you love martial arts and everything like that and something in steampunk era, you'll love Into the Badlands. Season 2 starts in March, and Sense8, which is a Netflix show, starts in May. So definitely check those out.
And you guys can find me tomorrow night on Thursdays doing the Riverdale after show, and so Sunday good. Is doing Walking Dead. I'll talk to you guys soon. Thanks for watching. Bye.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.